The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched. No life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Chicago's number one and most listened to sports station. 670 The Score is Chicago Sports. Chicago Sports is The Score. WSCR and HD Chicago. WBMX HD2 Chicago. Always live on the free Odyssey app.
The Score!
Now it's time for Inside the Clubhouse, a show dedicated to the Chicago baseball fan, featuring the best Chicago baseball conversation, as well as the big MLB topics, along with the biggest names, greatest guests, and listener interaction, starring Score baseball insider Bruce Levine, and half of Chicago's number one sports morning show, David Haw, on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, and always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Good Saturday morning, Chicago. Welcome back inside the clubhouse right here on 670 The Score and your free Odyssey app, broadcasting live from the Hyundai Score Studios. I am David Haw, along with Bruce Levine, talking baseball from 9 to 11 like we do every Saturday morning, recapping a very busy week, Bruce, that included probably a little more news than the White Sox would like at this time of the year. How are you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great. I first want to send out our condolences to the family of Lynn Brammer, a great friend, great person, fantastic broadcaster, as he always said, the friend of all. And, you know, he will be missed, but remembered as one of the great people and great broadcasters in the history of Chicago. So our condolences to them. And I'm doing great, David. Happy to be looking at just a few weeks away, and you can feel it out there with the snow and the cold this week. People are looking forward to that, and I'm looking forward to it as well. Both busy this week. Where would you like to begin today?
Well, there's a lot to choose from, and as Lynn used to say, it's a great day to be alive. And that news hit Chicago hard last weekend, and the tributes have been terrific since, and it's just been a testament to the kind of person he was, and we know how big of a baseball fan Lynn Brammer was. So we will try to keep that in mind as we talk baseball here until 11. Bruce, I think that the news of the week, the biggest headline, involves the White Sox, and you could look at some other things, and obviously Eloy Jimenez isn't wanting to play designated hitter. The broadcast crew is back. Jason Benetti and Steve Stone got their contract signed. We'll talk to Steve Stone at 9:30 here on Inside the Clubhouse. But unfortunately, the biggest headline is not a good one, and that is that Major League Baseball is investigating new White Sox pitcher Mike Clevinger for a potential violation of his domestic violence policy. And it gets messy there, because when MLB investigates your player, number one, the nature of the allegations are disturbing and disappointing. And secondly, when you involve Major League Baseball in an investigation and they gets this far, there's a lot that the White Sox cannot do and a lot that we would like to see them try. And therein lies the controversy. So that was not the headline that anybody wanted to see this week.
It was not, David. And I'm not clearing or defending the Chicago White Sox, but I'm making it pretty obvious from my view of things, is that the White Sox had no chance at all to be able to vet that this was going on. Okay, there was no idea at all. Major League Baseball had started their investigation, but they are not allowed and do not get involved by telling teams who to sign and who not to sign. So that information was not part of what the White Sox were available to get on him. They had to do their due diligence on what the guy's career was about up to that point. Did he have a few bumps in the road? Yeah, a few, but nothing like this. There was no indication there was anything like this in his profile. So from that perspective, I can't dump on the White Sox for this. I can only say it's unfortunate. And it's a black eye for them at this particular point in time, David. Again, this is all in the hands of Major League Baseball. Until they turn it over to the White Sox, this is not a White Sox situation. The only thing the White Sox could possibly do, David, is just in front of all this, if they want to release the guy and pay him his money, okay, they could probably go ahead and do that. But that again, they would be open up to a lot of different things. So this is just going to have to play out through Major League Baseball and Clevenger and his wife or his significant other figuring out where this goes.
The league opened its investigation after learning about the allegations made by Olivia Feinstead, the mother of one of Clevenger's children. And in the report in The Athletic, she detailed alleged physical and emotional abuse toward his three children and their mothers. He denied the allegations through a statement by his attorney. The attorney called the allegations baseless and accused Feinstead of threats toward the Clevenger family with a statement that emphatically denied any and all allegations. So, Bruce, I think this is those are points well taken. I think the White Sox are at the mercy of this investigation and the process to wait until it plays out. And according to the language of Major League Baseball and the collective bargaining agreement, the way I understand it is that the Sox cannot discipline any player, including Mike Clevenger in this case, prior to the completion of the investigation, unless the commissioner transfers authority to that team, in this case, the White Sox. I don't expect that to happen. Releasing him before that time period or making action would result in a grievance. And as it pertains to why they didn't give the Sox an idea that Mike Clevenger was going to be under investigation, MLB strives for confidentiality in things like this. I think that's where we can allow for a little bit of discussion here. And I think a lot of people wonder, maybe you do too, 312-644-6767. Shouldn't due diligence include the opportunity to find out if players you're about to invest $12 million in this case, are also the subject of an investigation for allegations that are this heinous? Because I think when you look at the details, there's no way a team would touch a player like this, knowing if this were a possibility. And I think that all week you wonder why the Sox didn't do more, why they didn't know more. And I think that's a fair conversation, even though, as you point out, there are reasons to want to defend the White Sox in this case. But, Bruce, I don't know, moving forward, how they can commit to a guy that has this hanging over his head. And I just don't know about that.
Well, the presumption that he's guilty of these allegations is easy to jump to and certainly disturbing beyond disturbing. But we live in an era where if somebody alleges you did something, you've already done it, okay? It's already happened, and you're guilty of it. That's not what this country is based on. That's not what our system's based on, okay? I'm not defending Mike Clevenger in the least here. I'm just defending his right to have his day investigated, his day looked at by MLB, by the authorities, and to know that there's always three sides to every story. Now, I'm not saying I'm defending him or taking this lightly, not at all. Any type of abuse like this should be looked at significantly and very seriously. But the guy has a right to the due process, okay? That's what our country's all about. What I'm saying, David, is, and we all know this, what I'm saying is, if somebody claims something now that you did, you're already done, okay? There's no stepping back from it. Even if you're exonerated from it, there's always going to be that smudge looking at you and social media pounding you for this alleged situation. So I think you have to step back a little bit and say, let the process play out. The White Sox, in the meantime, are fans and people upset about what he allegedly did, or the fact that they've got themselves into a situation where they might miss 175 innings from a pitcher that can help them win.
I just look at it, Bruce. You're right in a lot of things that you say, but this is not a courtroom. It's a clubhouse, and the presumption of innocence is that's just not the same standard. And I know you want to do that, but I also think that there's an element that diligent was the due diligence? And if Mike Clevenger was somebody with a reputation or somebody who had a history of these kinds of things, could you have legitimately found out some of these things if you tried a little harder to dig into? It's hard for a lot of people to accept that the White Sox, just during this investigation, found out that Mike Clevenger had some of this in his past. I get that you want to presume innocence, and that's fair in the process to do that. But I just feel like it feels incomplete, and it's very disappointing because the allegations are so disturbing. In that context, we have had on some people who are familiar with the process, guys who have been through this before perhaps. David Sampson is one of them, former executive for the Miami Marlins, and we had him on the Mullin Haas Show on Thursday morning talking about the White Sox options. This is what he had to say.
You are always able to do what you want to do, but what you're talking about is the fight over the termination for cause language in the contract. Termination for cause is when you can release a player and not pay him. If you're willing to pay him the $12 million just to disappear, then there's nothing that the union is going to say or the league. You pay him the $12 million, $2 million a month for the 6 months. You never show him in a uniform, in the White Sox uniform. You don't let him come to spring training. You don't let him do any of these off-season fan fest events, and you just move on.
That was David Sampson on the Mullin Haas Show. Bruce, the option of the MLB investigative arm or the commissioner's office placing Mike Clevenger on administrative leave would follow the lead of what they did in the Trevor Bauer situation with Marcell Ozuna down in Atlanta when he was accused of something similar. They have that option with 3 weeks to go to spring training. It's hard for me to imagine the White Sox going to spring training in Glendale and Mike Clevenger reporting like this never happened. I think Major League Baseball, between now and the time they report, will take some sort of action. And if they don't, they put the White Sox in a real difficult spot.
You know, it's sad to think that it depends how good you are as to how reaction would be out there. If this is a utility player or a somebody that's in the background, not a starting pitcher, David, is there a different type of reaction? Is there a different type of social media reaction? Is there type of outcry? I mean, you know, again, the hypocrisy of it is, oh, we don't want him playing for the team. Oh, we do want him playing for the team because he's really good or he can help us win, opposed to, you know, again, it's a slippery slope when you go down this direction as we talk about it, because in reality, the allegations are so strong and so outlandish, but baseball is now full of history of guys that have gone down this road. They've paid their time off. They've gotten money or not gotten money for being off and then gone on to play for other teams. We've had one right here in Chicago with Chapman.
I think the significance of him coming here. That doesn't make me feel any better about the situation. I just think it makes me remember how much we were in sort of a compromise position in situational ethics. You know, it was really disturbing, and then, boy, you know, we kind of forgot about it, and then, boy, he helped them win a World Series. Great move. I understand what you're saying, and there is an element of hypocrisy because of Mike Clevenger. If he were a minor league infielder, would he be giving this much attention? No, he's a guy that they spent $12 million on, and he wants to join the starting rotation because he can throw. He's a guy that you want to have 175 innings from. But Major League Baseball, I think, what I don't get, Bruce, and where I think the problem here is in the due diligence. It falls under that umbrella. Why can't they establish some sort of database or give teams a heads up who are pursuing free agents, guys who might be under investigation, They want to preserve the confidentiality of those investigations, and yet they put the teams in awkward positions because of situations like this. We're going to trust the White Sox that they didn't know about this before they signed Mike Clevinger. What I want to know is how soon after did they find this out? It's a very difficult spot, and Amy Dash, Odyssey's legal analyst and expert, was on the Mullenhall Show Thursday morning talking about MLB and what position the league is in situations like this.
I think there is probably privacy concerns with disclosing the name of the victim, but I don't think there's privacy concerns with just generally stating this player is under investigation, because you saw how quickly they were able to confirm that once the story hit the press. And I think that's a little bit of a hypocritical move by MLB, because they're claiming to have absolutely zero tolerance for this kind of stuff, and then not even informing the teams, at least internally, or at least just the White Sox, that something is going on, that there's an investigation since the summer.
So, Bruce, if I'm the White Sox, I'm furious that I found this out after the fact. I don't know what the reaction was, because they've been very tight-lipped outside of a statement saying they didn't know. Are you privy to any kind of reaction or information about how they interpreted or processed this news this week?
All I know is that they did their usual due diligence as far as checking out the guy's background. The White Sox, all the teams are really pretty good at it, and there was nothing that, you know, I was obviously out there at this point in time about him going through this. As far as Amy Dash's view of it, I agree with her that a heads up might be the thing that you have to give to other teams. But I think, and again, she's the legal expert, but I think you open yourself up to all kinds of lawsuits as a league if you put out detrimental information about somebody that's just at this point a investigation, not a true finding of person having done wrong. So,
well, I think that's an interesting point. But is somebody who's being investigated, is that, again, if you're having the presumption of innocence and you're putting somebody on a list and you're letting a team know, doesn't that fall into the category of maybe due diligence or responsibility the league has to let these teams know before they invest the money that these are players that have done something to warrant an investigation into what they're being accused of?
It's interesting, because when you sign a contract with a major league team, you're also Major League Baseball has to sign off on the contract. It has to be sent into the league office. So from that perspective, you wonder about the legality of it and exactly whose rear end they're protecting at that point in time from suing. And the other part is, an investigation doesn't mean you've done anything wrong. Okay, so from that perspective, are you being fair to the individual by announcing that that he's under investigation, but there's no, at this point, there's no real finding? It, you know, I could call I could call Odyssey today and say, you know, David Haw has done this, that, and the other to me, and I'd like you to investigate it. They would investigate it. It doesn't necessarily mean that you've done anything wrong.
But you might not have evidence, Bruce. You might not have any video evidence of anything that I have done to you, or any anecdotal evidence of anything I've thrown at you.
Oh, I have evidence from every Saturday when you use me on this show.
But you know, Sully, our buddy at the Tribune, in the wake of the news columnist, wrote a very strong column about the White Sox needing to sever ties with Mike Clevinger. And I have to say, Bruce, I want to be consistent. During the week, I have been on the same page. I think that they're going to eventually have to come to that conclusion sooner rather than later. I'm not sure about the timing, but I have a hard time envisioning Mike Clevinger wearing a White Sox uniform in 2023 and being on the mound pitching for this team on the South Side. I just do. I know you have thoughts. I know everyone has opinions. 312-644-6767. Let's go to the Score listener line, powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Let's go to Rob in Door County. Good morning, Rob. Welcome inside the clubhouse.
Top of the morning, former White Sox season ticket holder in 13-degree Far Eastern Northern Wisconsin, weighing in. I appreciate everything you guys are saying on this, and it sounds like you know, when you start going through the idea of due diligence and should the White Sox have known or should teams know, if you go back and look at the Bauer situation and how that transpired, you know, if there was some sort of relatively in-depth background check that was required for before contracts were signed, probably past history there would have flagged something. Now, the players' unions are probably not going to want to go for any of that, but my point would be when you say in this instance the White Sox and what could they have done for due diligence, you know, which team is going to step forward finally and in whichever sport, hopefully the White Sox, and say, here's how we're going to approach free agency now. We have some categories on a checklist that have to be marked off before we consider putting somebody on as a free agent. What kind of a foundation have they established? What kind of community service do they do? How many times per year do they do it? Do they participate in the community service with their family? And my point being, if you look at the various incidences similar to this in the NFL, I have yet to hear that one of those incidents happened with a nominee for the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award.
Thanks for the phone call, Rob. I'm not quite sure what he was referring to with the Walter Payton Man of the Year Award. That's a different sport, different award.
I think, David, what he's saying is that when allegations come for these particular individuals, that very rarely are they proved to be the solid type of citizens you wanted to begin with in your organization. In other words, look, we do know that Clevenger back in 2021 stepped out of
protocol
rules by walking away from the COVID rules and stepping out and going out and exposing himself to COVID when it was the league rules at that time that you stayed within the framework of your team when you were on the road. You didn't go out. That seems like distant and far off history right now, but I think that was the only indication of not following being a good citizen or a good teammate at that particular point in time when he and I believe it was Plisak who stepped away from the team and went out and broke those rules. Do they seem like minor incidents right now? It's hard for me to say, stepping away almost 3 years, how I view that and whether or not that should have been a red flag for the White Sox or not.
Well, I think, yeah, that's one instance. You're not going to avoid signing somebody based on a COVID protocol violation. I think other things that might have come up in talking to people around him, maybe it's you look back and you see things that may have stood out, maybe not in his involvement with Trevor Bauer, frankly. That would have made me a little bit uncomfortable given his name came up in that investigation, in that process. But
hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
I think right now the main focus is on what the White Sox will do next. It's an ongoing conversation. Everyone's going to have an opinion, and we're going to have to wait and see to some degree because what they do will be dictated by how the league acts after it completes its investigation, whenever that may be. I'm sure our next guest will have an opinion on what happens with Mike Clevenger, what Eloy Jimenez said, what the White Sox offseason looks like, and what he did on Friday in signing a contract to return to the booth for NBC Sports Chicago. Steve Stone, our Sox analyst here at The Score, our teammate and friend, joins us next on Inside the Clubhouse. Chicago Sports Radio, 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Oh, I think I'm just one of many that are excited. I've spoken to a lot of the players, of course, all the coaches. And we're just preparing right now. Everybody's excited, eager to get out there. The only thing that's happening now is that we can't get out there till the 13th because we got the Super Bowl and the waste management tournament, and there's no room. So everybody's eager to go, and we can't.
Welcome back inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. That was Pedro Grifol last week on this show talking about him anticipating spring training anxiously just 3 weeks away. And that brings us to our next guest, presented by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. We've got a lot to talk to him about. Good morning, Steve Stone. How are you doing?
I am delightful, and especially what a way to start the spring. I haven't done any Twitter, and I haven't done any radio. And now I get a chance to hear Bruce Levine singing the Nationwide song, and it makes me feel real good about what Jason and I do.
That's a great place to start, Stoney. So there's a lot to talk to you about, but how about the news that broke on Friday? You are returning to the booth, NBC Sports Chicago, and I think a lot of Sox fans are relieved that that was taken care of after initial reports were that that might not be the case. But welcome back, and we're glad you're coming.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that, and it's wonderful to be coming back with Jason. I think our broadcast, along with Joe Grube, who's up in the booth, and a lot of guys, just about everybody who's in the truck, makes us sound pretty good. But I think at times our broadcast can be magic. At times it can be painful. We are, like every other set of broadcasters, at the mercy of the quality of the baseball team. And so when they're not looking that good, we're not looking that good. And when the team is real good, everybody wants to listen to the broadcast because the team is real good. So it centers around those guys that are on the field getting it done. And I think what Jason and I do are just fill in the gaps and hopefully educate you a little bit about baseball.
Steve, what has changed in your mind about the way that you broadcast and how you look at the game now, starting your 41st year in Chicago, you know, broadcasting Chicago baseball, first with the Cubs and then the last 17 or 18 years with the White Sox? What is different now about the way that you broadcast as opposed to 1983 when you started with the Cubs?
Well, there's, you know, from a technology standpoint, the pictures are better, the angles are better, the creativity of the producers, Chris Withers in our case, his creativity is outstanding, and I think the station urges that. You know, there was, years ago when I first started, there was very much a straightforward approach to what was going on, and of course, when I came to Chicago after leaving ABC Monday Night Baseball, I really learned what a local broadcast was all about, broadcasting with Harry Carey. And he could be very entertaining and then still, at the time, wonderfully dramatic. A lot of people remember Harry at the end when he was making a lot of mistakes and he would go in off tangents and whatever, but they forget that Harry was just a great broadcaster. And like so many others before him, he really learned how to do it on radio, which is the play-by-play man's medium. Len Casper does a great job for us, but it's the medium of the play-by-play guy because you have to paint the picture. You have to get that person listening to you to understand what it looks like and feels like on the field. From a television standpoint, I think now, because there's so many more angles, because there's so many more things to look at, because our whole staff, the cameraman and everybody else, taught to look in the stands and you know, get the picture of the game and the day, I think we have more to analyze. So I think this is maybe the greatest time to analyze baseball in all the years that I've been doing it. And to me, it's the greatest game in the world. I've loved it. I try to bring that out in every broadcast. Look, some days I like it a little bit better than others, but for the most part, it's a great game, and hopefully we'll have a little better luck this year. The loss of Liam Hendricks is going to hurt, don't get me wrong, and that's something that the ball club is going to have to overcome. So that's something that, if this team is going to be successful, that's just one of the challenges they'll have.
Unfortunately, Steve, this week the news wasn't good as it pertains to the White Sox. MLB investigating Mike Clevinger, the new free agent pitcher, for a violation potentially of its domestic violence policy. A lot of conversation about whether or not due diligence should have been done here, and the White Sox should have known more. MLB cannot reveal who they're investigating. There's confidentiality concerns there. If you were to First of all, what was your reaction to the news, and how do you expect this to be handled by the White Sox moving forward?
Well, I think my reaction and their reaction is pretty similar. Number one, I think the key is he's being investigated. If, in fact, it's something that they find out that he did, well, they're going to deal with it. And I think anything at this point, and I don't want to sound like I'm running for office, but anything at this point that we speculate on is going to be just that, and it's also premature. So when something happens, I'm sure we'll talk again, and we can delve into that.
Steve, on the front of the Eloy Jimenez news this week, Pedro Grifol has said, the new manager of the White Sox has said that he expects Pedro to DH most of the time, but that he will get some time in the outfield. And oddly enough, right field is where Eloy might be playing. I don't understand the situation. I do understand dealing with the modern player, the millennial player, and giving them the feeling that they want to be positive about and open to the fact that you can be an everyday ball player out there. But knowing Eloy's history of injury and the idea that the best place ideally would be for him, in my opinion, to DH 162 times next year, what is your take on this Eloy coming out and saying, yeah, you know what, I just don't want to DH, I want to play the outfield?
Well, Eloy can say anything he wants to, and I think I can understand his feelings. I can understand the fact that he's been a two-way player his whole life, two-way player to get here, and I think that somewhere along the line, there's a delicate balance in what players and the ball club think about their role. And one of the things that I don't think that Eloy is thinking that much about at this point is what's best for the baseball team. Because it was something that I think all of us who go to a team who has visions of winning, I think we come to that team, and I'll use what I felt like when I went to the Orioles the first time. What happened was I was a free agent. I went to the Orioles, and I always thought, because some of the teams that I was with weren't real good, and you have a tendency to feel, as I believe Eloy is feeling now, what's best for you as the player is then best for the team. And then you get to a team that's supposed to win. And we felt in Baltimore we were supposed to win every year. And so when I got there, eventually what I learned was the way it should be all along, and that is what was best for the Baltimore Orioles, by definition, was best for me. I had my best years there. I played for the best teams there. But they weren't going to adjust to my wants and desires. Just as the White Sox are not going to sit back and say, well, we know that Eloy doesn't play the outfield as good as Benintendi, let's say, but we're going to play him out there because that's not the way to get the best out of the team. So I think one of the philosophies, and I've talked to a lot of people about Pedro, and number one, the players just like him. That's the first hurdle. Then, because they like him, they have to buy into what his philosophies are going to be. I can understand at this point, and not having talked with Pedro yet, I think he probably feels, let's leave the door open to everything. We'll see how it shakes out. I think probably in his own mind, he would like to see Eloy do much more as far as the DH is concerned as the outfield, but he also wants him to stay in shape. And by practicing in the outfield on a daily basis, you can stay in shape.
So, Steve, obviously there's a lot that's gone on this offseason that lately, if you're a Sox fan, I think you feel a little disappointed, a little like you've been punched in the gut. The Clevinger news comes on the heels of Eloy saying what he said, and there's no Sox Fest and a lot of things. So, okay, I know you don't want to talk about Clevinger. That's fine. But when you look at this season, this offseason, and 3 weeks away from spring training, what could you say to Sox fans that either restores some hope, provides some perspective, or gives them a reason not to think that the Sox are trying to ruin their winter? Because this week on the radio, this week talking to Sox fans, that's the prevailing reaction to everything that's happened.
Well, you know, winning does cure a little bit of that, and we have to realize that just a short, less than 2 years ago, the Sox won the division, won 90 games, and looked pretty good by doing it, ran away. So last year, just a mediocre year. Supposed to win, didn't, played 500 ball, not acceptable. This year you have a new administration coming in, and what should I say to Sox fans? Well, I believe what they think is prove it to me. And I think that's what this Sox team is going to try to do. They're going to try to prove it to the fans. Now, you can talk as much as you want to, and the reality is that you got to prove it out on the field. Well, they have not the chance yet to prove it out on the field. This is going to be a strange spring training because you have the World Baseball Classic. There's guys reporting at different times. Somewhere along the line, this team is going to have to come together. And again, if they're pulling in 26 different directions, it's not going to work. So the key will be to accept what Pedro and his staff are trying to implement. I think being a fairly long spring training, although they'd like to get out there a little sooner, but you heard Pedro say that they can't start until the middle of February, but that's just what you have to deal with. Every team has to deal with the same thing. I can't tell the Sox fans definitively they're going to win. I can say that the Houston Astros and teams like that are not in the Sox division. The division is good in places. It's not great. And so if the Sox play well, they'll probably win the division. If they don't play well, as we saw last year, they're going to finish up the track. So you have to get by Cleveland. You have to get by that pitching staff. You have to get by Terry Francona. That would be the first one. We'll see what Minnesota does. I personally am very happy that Luis Arraez is no longer in the division because he was really hard to get out. Now somebody can get him out in Miami. But I am always optimistic, always have been. You say that that the Sox fans are not unhappy, they're disgruntled, they're thinking the Sox are ruining their life and their season and everything else. Well, you got plenty of time. The fans have plenty of time to be as disgruntled as they want to if this team doesn't prove it out on the field. But right now, because hope springs eternal, let's be optimistic that this team with the less than overwhelming division can stay in contention, and even a greater situation is staying healthy. We saw what happened last year when they couldn't. I don't know what's going to happen this year.
After signing a $400 million contract to return to broadcast White Sox games this year, Steve Stone joins us this morning on The Score. And, Steve, going back as far as when you were with those great Baltimore teams, there was one constant in the Baltimore philosophy. We've seen the constant in many others, including the St. Louis Cardinals with Yadier Molina. With the Orioles, it was Rick Dempsey. A defensive first minded team as far as the catcher position goes. We know Yasmani Grandal, healthy like he was 3 years ago, will help this team offensively. Defensively, questionable at this point going into the last year of his free agent contract. We know Zavallo is the backup. We've talked, David and I have talked a lot about that this looks like a possible Achilles heel for the White Sox going into the season if they don't add another catcher. What are your thoughts about the position, how essential it is to have a defensive-minded catcher who can call games, and, again, not besmirching, Grandal, who's an outstanding offensive player when he's healthy, but how do you look at the situation and where they go from here?
Well, Yaz is going to get the first shot, and that's what they're planning, that he is the guy who's going to get the majority of the games behind the plate. If he proves he can't do it, or if those knees give him continuing problems, then you have to make an adjustment. I would think that as the spring moves along, or perhaps as we move a little bit closer to everybody reporting in the middle of February and getting ready to go, I think the Sox are on the lookout for that guy who can really get it done behind the plate. If you have an offensive catcher, you got to have a really strong defensive backup. And so I think that the catching looks as solid as it's going to look with Sebi behind Grandal. Again, that's how you start. Very rarely do you end the same way you start in this game? Because it is a game of attrition. That's the catching aspect of it. And also, I think catchers are going to have to be as good as they can be. And here's an aspect, guys, that I don't think a lot of people are talking about. And that is, it's going to be a different year for pitchers because the bases are going to be bigger, meaning that you're going to be ostensibly closer to the base you're trying to steal. Also, there's a limit on how many times you can throw to first base. And you're not going to use those two because the third one puts the guy at second base. And so the big thing is the size of the bases and the proximity to the next base. Pitchers are going to have to be really aware. And so far, we've seen a lot of catchers having trouble throwing out base runners. They need as much help as possible by pitchers. So you're going to have to teach a method to get rid of the ball more quickly. And the timing, you see first base coaches with that with stopwatch in their hands. The timing from when the pitcher gets into a set position to when the ball leaves his hand. And then you know if you can run. So you're going to have to teach pitchers to be more aware of base stealers, to get the ball to the catcher more quickly, and to have the catcher work on his footwork to the point where they can actually throw out some base stealers. Because the guys around who do steal bases, who can steal bases, those guys will be running, putting even more pressure on the defense. And if you can't execute, you're going to have some problems. That's something that all major league teams will have to deal with, and the Sox will have to make it a priority in spring training.
Steve, thanks so much for your time this morning. Congratulations on your new deal, and we'll look forward to hearing you and seeing you more in spring training.
Okay, guys, I think we'll do that, and have a good rest of the year, and the Sox will we'll put things together down here with a new coaching staff and a lot of new players and see how it shakes out.
Steve Stone.
I'll work on my singing as well, Steve. I'll work on it.
Please.
In the offseason.
As a public service.
Thanks, Tony. Steve Stone, NBC Sports Chicago and Score Sox analyst. We'll react to what he had to say when we come back. Don't forget, though, Championship Sunday is here, and Westwood One brings you the AFC and NFC Championship games live no matter where you are. Listen to 49ers, Eagles, Bengals, and Chiefs on 670 The Score, which is free on your Odyssey app. Coverage begins Sunday at 1 o'clock Central. Download the Odyssey app today. When we come back, more White Sox talk. We'll get to the Cubs eventually. And the Hall of Fame had an announcement this week, all here on Inside the Clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
We're back with more Inside the Clubhouse with Bruce Levine and David Haw on Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. And always live on the free Odyssey app, presented by Bet Rivers Sportsbook.
Welcome back. Short segment here before we get to chin music at the top of the hour. That's going to be some fun. Steve Stone just brought us up to date on what he is doing coming back to the Sox and some other things regarding the Sox spring training plans in this season. Bruce, I think that I understand why Steve couldn't talk about the Mike Clevenger situation. I understand why people are reluctant to want to address it. I suppose I am just hoping at some point in time that somebody sounds as disgusted as I felt, and I think a lot of people felt, reading the allegations and processing this news. It's a tough needle to thread. And I don't know that the Sox can do anything because of the structure of the Major League Baseball investigative process. And I understand and respect that process. But I just don't know if I don't know if it's wrong to want to discuss the possibilities here. And I also think that this is an allegation. I know, I understand the presumption of innocence, but this is an allegation made by a woman who willingly came forward and was willing to be identified and had enough evidence to compel The Athletic, which is no fly-by-night operation, to run a story making these charges. So I don't think it's insignificant, and I don't think it's inappropriate to want to delve a little deeper into how the Sox really feel.
Well, it's just such an impossible situation for them at this point. You know,
it's not.
I can't help
but that's what I'm saying. It's not.
Well, I mean, you know, it's not your $12 million, okay? If it was your $12 million and your significant pitcher who you hope to fortify the team, you know, you would be hesitating as well. Not that you don't have. I'm sure they all feel the same way you do, David, that if this is true, they're disgusted they're retching, and they can't wait to get this situation cleaned up. And the other point of it is that you're not in this situation. It's not your money. It's not your pitcher. It's not your team. It's not your situation. So your opinion, although I respect the hell out of it, it's just, you know, there's no harm, no foul on your opinion. It doesn't really matter at this point. It only matters whether or not this guy is innocent or guilty of these charges. And the White Sox are just going to have to wait. If it was you, would you just say, okay, I'm letting him go now before we really know if this is true or not?
I would try to find a way to be very delicate. These are guys who are making decisions that have multi-million-dollar implications. I get that. We're not in that situation. But I would try to communicate this in a way that has a little more savvy. It's very hard to be, you know, black or white here. But I would like to try to find some gray. And I think I haven't seen that so far. And I think that maybe that'll happen. And they are confined by what they can do. We all are we're aware of that, and we will approach this story with the fairness that it deserves. But I think that it's disturbing. It's disappointing.
Well, I agree. There's no tolerance in these situations. When proved out, I'm with you 1,000,000%. You know, you let the guy go. It doesn't matter how much money you paid, and if he's suspended or he is you know, found guilty of these charges, I'm with you. It's like, okay, here's your money. This is a mistake. We have to move on without you. I'm with you 1,000,000%. But you have to let the process play itself out.
This was the offseason that Rick Hahn began vowing to regain the Sox fans' trust. And I don't know that he has gone a long way in that direction. We will move on to baseball. We will get on to other things. And Eloy Jimenez had a lot to say this week about his role on this baseball team on the South Side. We'll address that next inside the clubhouse, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
When the stakes rise and the lights get bright, that's when you find out who can really swim. Deep Waters is a new UFC podcast from CBS Sports. Every Monday, myself, Dean Thomas, alongside with legends of the sport, Chris Weidman, Jorge Masvidal, and Dustin Poirier, bring you inside the octagon like no one else can. Deep Waters, new episodes every Monday. Watch on YouTube or listen on Apple, Spotify, and everywhere else you get podcasts.